Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to Give Me the Fear, the BritFlix podcast FrightFest 2023 preview series. My name is Stuart Ryan, and usually I host this show, but for this genre talent filled build up to the Woodstock of Gore, I'm keeping stump. When this intro is done, this is the last you're going to hear from me until I ask you to tell your friends all about it. The spoiler-free interviews are brief, and across the entire series, you will discover the kind of knowledge and experience about how to make horror films that they just don't teach you at film school. Are you ready for that? After looking back at the blood, sweat and tears that went into their creative successes, I asked them one last question. If you could handpick one person to be in the audience, alive or dead, famous or personal to you, your Fright Fest screening, who would it be and why? I think you're going to love the answers this question elicits. I certainly do. That's my introduction over with. Let's hear from the talent.
Hi, I'm Anthony Waller. I wrote, directed, co-produced, composed and acted in my latest production, called The Piper. Piper is a supernatural thriller, romance, and action horror adventure. It's about the spirit of the Pied Piper of Hamelin from folklore, who punishes parents for their transgressions by hypnotizing their children into committing suicide. So the idea is that it's a greater punishment to have your children taken away than to be punished yourself. What was exciting about this project is just when everybody else thought it wasn't possible to shoot a movie, we were able to shoot during COVID, and Latvia was the main shooting location, despite the fact that most of the story is set in Hamelin in Germany. Latvia was one of the last countries to be affected by COVID. So we managed to get everything in the can before that broke out in earnest there. And we were pretty lucky. So it was particularly good to be working when everybody seemed to be locked down in the rest of the world. The case is only very late came to the country. It was actually pretty much COVID-free. I mean, we did have to go through COVID protocols and wear masks and be tested all the time, but it didn't break out in earnest until much later. I like the fact that I got to see a lot of different places in Latvia, and that we were working in old and new locations, and horse riding, and fond memories of us, especially the excitement of finding out that my lead characters could ride horses, also bareback, and the whole training for that. And that was particularly fun. It is a hybrid of past and present, and I was trying to get concepts that mix concepts from the original story where the Piper was more of a revenge story, that he was getting people back for not being paid. And so he led the rats away and drowned them. And when he wasn't paid, he led the children away and drowned them, which sounds very vindictive. And the idea that the spirit of the Piper would live on and be vindictive as well in the present was a fascinating one in terms of the psychology of a parent who has had a misdemeanor and tries to hide it away. And and I imagine that what was evil or bad back then, it was a bit more puritanical, and some things would not be punished so harshly these days. But it's more it's the guilt which triggers the reactions of the characters and breaks down the trust between the parent and the offspring, because it's the story can be applied to other parent-child relationships. So it could potentially be a franchise or a TV series. The idea that that the child has to pay the price for their parent, the parent's misdemeanors. That's pretty much what I was expecting it to turn out, except I always find that the first edit of a movie that I make is always far, far longer. And but it's always better to assemble everything in its full length and then cut it down. It's better that way. I'd rather have more and trim away than too little and have to try and stretch things. So so it allowed me to shape the story better, because some scenes have fallen by the wayside, not because they weren't good in themselves, but in the overall balance. The overall balance has to be right. I guess it's like having some clay and carving a sculpture out of the clay. It's what you take away is also as important as what's there. Who would I choose to have in the Fright Fest screening? I guess my mum, because she passed away before the movie was finished, and she's always been a big supporter of my work, and she's and never got to see the film finished. So that would be the person one. I'd love her to be able to be there with me in the premiere to see it. And the other one would be, if the Pied Piper ever existed as a real person, it would be interesting to have him in the theater and see what he would think of how he is being projected 730 years in the future. Because in the past, the idea of harsh punishment was more preventative, to defer people from misbehaving through fear. So it was an iron hand through fear. People were scared. And the idea that if one person digresses, then the entire village gets punished. Nobody dares digress, because it's also everybody else is in the firing line.
Hi, I'm Costa. I am the director of the movie, and this is Liz.
I'm Elizabeth, and I'm the producer of the movie from the UK side of things, and also the co-creator of the movie with Costas. So in Minore, we have a typical summer night in Greece. It's hot, it's steamy. A sailor on leave shows up. He arrives at the port to search for his long-lost father. After some music and dancing and taverna nights in very, very traditional Greek movie style, William meets a waitress. And although he has a nice night, sort of a sudden mist engulfs the town. And these otherworldly monsters come from the deep to kind of invade, enticing the locals into the sea. And they have strange dreams. And it's up to basically this random sailor and this waitress, a taverna full of musicians, their granny, and a Viking bodybuilder to save the day.
In Greece, it's very difficult to get a church location. It's almost a taboo. So we got, because of the subject matter, we got basically like everybody said no, church-wise. So our last chance to shoot, the last church we had was in this military base. And it was a church that it was not in the diocese. And then the final yes or no was up to the commander of the base. Now the full title of the movie is called To Minore Tis Lamias in Greece. Lamia, if you put the tone on la, it's a mythical monster, like a child eating monster. If you put the tone at the end part, Lamia, it becomes like a name of like, you know, Manchester, something like that. So the commander, when we had the interview, he called us and he was so happy. It's like, oh, it's about my hometown, a song about my hometown. And he signed it off without reading it. So
the producer did offer to let him read it. He was cool not to.
So it's going to be a little bit of a shock when he sees what happened to it.
To be clear, the movie is not about the city of Lamia in Greece. Well, we found this really beautiful hotel, and it was on an island just outside of Athens. So you have to take a little ferry to get there. And we decided to shoot in this hotel. We only had a short time to prep it. I was on the kind of set and art side of things during the shoot. And we discovered two things about this hotel. And it was stunning. It was the most beautiful location we could find. And we begged the Greek producer, can we please, 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 please shoot there? We don't care what it'll cost. We'll find money for sound later or something. We begged them for this location. And we get there and it is beautiful. Every room is beautiful. We don't know which one to shoot in. And it's falling apart a little as well. And everyone got fleas. So my advice to young filmmakers would be, make sure you always have sunscreen, always bring bug spray, of bug spray, a flea repellent. And also it was haunted. So by some strange, sad little boy ghost that kind of was not super pleased we were there.
Oh, nobody told me about this.
I didn't want to worry you, honey. Anyway, it was fine.
Funny was like we had so many cast, and it was such a good team. We had like a blast shooting this one. It was actually like playground for like at least the actors. Yeah. And like, yeah, it was great.
So many buckets of slime. We went through a lot of slime. We kept having to order more slime because we were going through more than we expected.
Lots of slime. About the practical effects, we kind of had we didn't have much budget, but we managed to get the best like guy in Greece to do it, like Prokopis.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Placido Studio is basically one of the best dudes that works currently in the industry in Mediterranean, basically. And we loved his stuff. And we kind of, when we designed so we can marry like his stuff with kind of visual effects, like cheesy B-movie style visual effects, so we keep it fun. We didn't want to go like too crazy, like, you know, horror territory. So if you see the creatures that on the fun side, like all kind of almost like Harryhausen-esque kind of type things. So it's, we want to keep, okay, you're watching this type of film, you're not watching this type of film. So hopefully.
Yeah. And well, Kostas is a visual effects expert. He's been doing it for like, I don't know how many years. He's tired now.
I don't know my name. That's why I cannot speak.
But that's one of the things we looked at, working with Prokopis. His partner does beautiful painting work, and he does beautiful like technical work crafting it. And so we'd take the effect and be like 90% practical, and then think about what's the 10% that we could put on top of that to make it in VFX to really enhance it. So it's a really great marriage, I think, of the two, where you have the practical effects just enhanced by a little bit of VFX, and trying to do as much as possible on set on the day.
Yeah. But for me, it's lovely when both of them, you don't say like, oh, visual effects is bad, you know, or like practical.
Or we don't need practical.
It's like we need both, man. It's like every film should have both, you know, if you can afford it. Yeah.
It's just, I mean, it's different tools. I mean, when I trained as a designer in theater, like we were painting with real paint and we had drafting with pencils and like straight edges and stuff. Now you draft an auto, like the technologies evolve, but they're all just different types of tools, you know? Now you can do pencil and digital as accurately.
For me, it was like one of the, like, we actually got what we shot. Like, it was a good experience. Because we didn't have much budget, we went super prepared. So we had storyboarded everything. Like, we had to, because we had so many little days of shoot, so we had to edit on camera, basically. So if either you had it or you didn't. It wasn't like, oh, we have coverage. We have like shot with like, there was one camera. That's what we got. If you don't have it, it's done, basically. So yeah, like we were kind of like, the pleasing thing is like that the performances of the actors, at least for us, were super fun. So it was like, we both wanted to stay in the performance of the actors, basically, and let's just stay there and get the relationships, because it was good. B3, probably be Del Toro, Lovecraft and Poe. They're my heroes, basically. And I love all their stories. And like, I love, you know, obviously Del Toro's work. And I've worked for him for a few times, like doing visual effects for him. But it's obviously terrified to be judged by the heroes. So maybe it's good that they won't see it. We'll see.
I'm Aaron Truss, and I'm the director and editor of Pareidolia. So Pareidolia follows our character Sinead, played by Diane Franklin, who's a university lecturer, and she's introducing the concept of pareidolia to her students when she slowly starts to begin to lose her mind. She's convinced that there's something hiding within photos that she's taking and gathering for her class. Things go from bad to worse when she's alone at night in our cottage. Don't want to give away too much there, but meanwhile, a priest is called into a mortuary to inspect a body that's been found, and the priest realizes that his past is beginning to catch up with him. Again, I can't say anything more than that because I'd have to kill you. Well, looking back on the script development and pre-production, we planned this for an entire year. I believe we literally hit the ground running straight after Fright Fest last year. And the great thing was I got to work with my father. He wrote the script and he's a writer himself. He's been nagging me for ages saying, when are you going to film something I've written? And this time around I said, well, Stuart Morris from The Misty Moon, he's got Diane Franklin coming along and he needs a short film. Have you got any short stories in the bank that you want to work with? And he just so happened to pull out this idea about pareidolia, and I instantly fell in love with it. And myself and Dad, we started developing the story. It was mainly my dad, and then I would come along and tweak things for the sake of, no, we can't do that. We just don't have the budget, or I need to make this fit within a location that we can shoot in logistically. So that was fun. And Stuart, bless him, he's been absolutely amazing. He's a great producer, and he's been making films for years. And I wanted to take The Misty Moon and my production company, Cucumber, in a different direction. And I think it was Diane Franklin who gave us one note on the brief, which was, I want a thriller and I want it to be scary. No comedy, no nothing like that. It's got to be scary. And I thought, well, okay, no pressure. And we just went from there. In terms of shooting the movie, that was a lot of fun. Stuart put together this great ensemble cast, which were a dream to work with. It was a bit nerve-wracking, to be honest, working with Diane Franklin, who's been working in the industry for God knows how many years. And she was teaching me some tricks. You know, she'd pull me to the side and she'd be talking to me about how we should do this, how we should approach her character, what she was thinking about the character that I hadn't necessarily thought of, which I thought was great. She did have a lot of patience. Normally when I run things on a set, I tend to make everyone feel at ease. And obviously this is my, yeah, you know, I can't remember how many films I've done now, but it's not that many, but it's still early years for me. So I think she was sort of taken back by the indie approach that we had on location, and people like Graham Cole understood the brief completely. He was singing to the extras in between takes, keeping everyone entertained as he did. I think he has a theatre background, so he was just big booming voice and all this. And, you know, whenever we'd shout cut, he'd be just burst into song. And I kept making me think maybe this should have been a musical. But Graham was fantastic. Carolyn Pickles from Broadchurch, she was absolutely incredible as well. And Joe Akers as well, who I've known for years, and I just put him in anything I do. He's just fantastic. You'll notice him. He's the youngest person in the film. And in terms of the edit process and post-production, I started very early. I started post-production, I think, after the first block of filming, just so I could, you know, show Stuart what I was up to, show my dad what I was up to, bring them in, get their opinions. But I was really blessed to have Jake West, who was working on Mancunian Man at the same time. And he'd drop stuff to come over to my place, which is just around the corner in Bromley. And we'd sit and talk about where it was going. And I remember he gave me the best, he's given me loads of gems. But one of the things I remember he told me was, your final edit will always be your final draft. You know, feel free to screw around with anything you want to. It's your decision at the end of the day. And I believe the first edit, rough cut, was about 20 minutes long, and immediately he was like, it's too long. And I went, yeah, I know, I'm just laying everything on the timeline. And we started trimming it back and just getting down to the basics of the story. And he was so lovely about it, and he always has time for helping out and stuff. And he became more involved in the project, as well as the production team, who just behind the scenes creating the visual effects and the audio. And a shout out to Nacho, Dan and Mario. They've been absolutely incredible, and they're probably the hardest working production team that I've worked with to date to get this right, because we know that if we fuck it up, people are going to laugh at it. So it's got to be scary, it's got to be tight, and it's got to be good. So yeah, they're all the best. So I thought about this question. So if I could have anyone at the screening, famous or dead or personal to me, I've got three, actually, and I'll just spin them out now. So first off, I would have to say Rob Knox. Rob Knox was a very close friend of mine. He was in Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince. Unfortunately, he was murdered in 2008, but we used to make short films together when we were kids. And the last film we ever did, and it was actually his last film, was a silly zombie comedy set in a supermarket when the night shift manager turns into a zombie after eating some beef. And it's the most ridiculous short film ever, but we had no idea what we were doing. But we all thought, oh, this is going to be great. It's going to be like Shaun of the Dead. And literally, we're 18-year-old, you know, twats. But unfortunately, he was taken from us too soon. And if I could show anyone where we've come to now with our process, our friends, and making these films, it would be Rob. I'd love to be able to just show him, look how far we came, all because of what we started 15 years ago. That would be great. And the two other people that I would have to say I'd love to be there is, this is a reference to Graham Cole, who tweeted this recently, and I thought it was very sweet. Graham Cole appeared in a film with Vincent Price and Peter Cushion. The production name escapes me at the moment, but he posted something out there saying he was very lucky enough to work with them, and they gave him advice on acting and whatnot. And he posted something on the lines of, I hope this makes Vincent Price and Peter Cushion proud, the whole process of Pareidolia, which I thought was a very sweet thing to say. So just for the sake of Graham Cole, I'd like to have Rob Knox, Peter Cushion and Vincent Price there. That would be my dream three, I think.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please share it with at least one friend. Put a link out on social media, rate and review it for your preferred podcast platform, put an ad in Lou, Novel the Town Crier, whisper in the ear of the town gossip. You get the picture. It all helps bring new people into the Britflix podcast fold. Thank you.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.